Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I hope you were out there running this morning. I was, without my shirt, sprinting up the hills and loving that rain. Some of you may have caught the rainbow. Absolutely critical phenomenon for us all. When the air clears in Los Angeles and the sun shines at the same time, don't you just feel better? There's one reason you do feel better. Well, we know the air is clean, but there's something else that happens when the vibration of the earth changes, and that is your blood thins. Blood thinning. We're going to discuss blood thinning today. Hopefully you're doing a little bit of it from exercise, but I want you to understand blood viscosity. I'm going to use a term today. And again, everybody in some way, shape, or form has a concern about the viscosity of their blood. I'm going to elaborate on that today. A lot of times I do shows where we just pick a disease, a common malady, an ailment, arthritis, fibromyalgia, TMJ, cancer, low back pain. This is the stuff that you can relate to because you may have it or you may have had it. And you like those kind of shows, and so I do them. But there's something way more important than that, because there are concepts in physiology, in pathology, that tie together all these types of diseases. And this is always the more important and the better investment of your time, money, and energy, to really learn what these fundamental concepts are about. So on one end of the spectrum, we've got the herb symptom of approach. On the other end of the spectrum, or on another end of the spectrum, we've got people that want to hear about their disease, their concern, and what to do about that. Get away from that notion. If you really want to understand what an herb is about, understand the basic laws of pathology. And you can understand that. And one of them today is blood stasis. Blood viscosity. How thick is your blood? Yes, I know at the breakfast table, you don't think in terms of this, but you have to. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. Go right to the show and look at the pictures. The pictures tell a thousand words. For those of you who know the routine, picture number one, go to it. You're going to see this notion of blood viscosity is very, very central in science. It just doesn't translate into your physician across the desk. You don't hear it from your doctors. You don't hear it as a concern in your physicals. You don't hear it as a concern when you're sick. But if you go into the journals, issues about thickness of blood, blood viscosity, is so, so fundamental to how we study pathogenesis of disease. We know it's what's behind what drives disease. I've put articles on the site today. You look at those articles. Those are peer-reviewed science articles. They are not your local nutritionist's opinion. Picture number one, is your heart pumping sludge? 60 million Americans suffer from cardiovascular disease. Cross out cardiovascular disease and put 200 million Americans suffer from blood sludge. Now, I want you to take that one in really deep to yourself, because it's not your accustomed way of thinking about your health, your life, your disease, or curing from your disease, but it's so critical that you start today. 200 million Americans suffer from blood sludge. You bet they do. the complete blood viscosity test offered only by Meridian Valley Lab. I'm not endorsing that lab. I don't really know that lab. I use this as an example of what the pathologists who own the labs are trying to get to the American public in understanding of what we're talking about today. And that lab may be very, very well. There's ways in your profiles, in your blood work, there's different things that you can get ordered that will give you a sense of, not the complete picture of, but a sense of how thick your blood is. We regularly measure prothrombin time, PTT. But you see, this prothrombin time is measured in relationship to strokes. It's measured sometimes in relationship to clotting diseases. It's not measured, or it's not even useful in relationship to what we're talking about when we say 60, 100, 200 million Americans have issues where the blood is too thick. Then prothrombin time is useless. So for the most part, we're not measuring it. Now, there is a indice in the blood called fibrinogen. Fibrinogen. It's not a bad thing to check the next time you get yourself any of your heart tests. Most of your doctors are not going to measure it. Some of your cardiologists will measure it. But, okay, your fibrinogen levels are bad. Yeah, that means you've got blood sludge. Your fibrinogen levels are good. That doesn't mean you don't have blood sludge. You got to respect any time you test false negatives. You can never use one test to give you reality. Using one test to give you reality is the equivalent of watching a movie off one frame in the film. That's about how wise that is. One test does not tell you anything about the totality of your body. 9 times out of 10, 99% of the time. You don't watch a movie and see 1 minute of it and a couple of frames and say you saw the movie. You wouldn't measure your indices of blood sludge or fibrinogen or prothrombin time either. You've got to get the profile. Do you follow? I know you do. If you're new to the show, you don't. So listen hard. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's picture number one. Just defining a concept. Now, let's just talk about the blood for a minute. Go to picture number three. When you take the blood, it breaks down into three components. Plasma, which is mostly water, white blood cells and platelets, and red blood cells. Your blood, in terms of material in it, is mostly red blood cells. The large, high percentage of your blood are red blood cells. Great. And you got a few RBCs, a little bit of the platelets account for a percentage of the volume. You're looking at picture number three now. Your blood is it's mostly water. It's mostly blood plasma. Now, there's lots of things in the blood that determine the thickness of the blood. We measure the clotting mechanism, how fast your blood clots, as it relates to your platelet counts and your ability of your platelets to go through a multi-step process whereby the blood will clot. You know, hemophiliacs, they don't clot too fast. They hemorrhage easy. They can die. It's serious. That's what we measure when we're measuring prothrombin time. That, to use that as the sole indice of blood viscosity is absurd. Well, you know that. Why? Strokes. Third leading cause of death in the United States, strokes. Most of them are clot strokes, embolic strokes. And what do we give people to make sure that we deal with this horrid stroke issue so they don't get a second stroke, which is the one that usually kills you, or the third one kills you? What do we give them? We give them Coumadin. We give them Plavix. We give them warfarin. We give them pharmaceuticals to make sure that the platelets don't clot so fast. And yet stroke, now here's where you apply your common sense. Stroke is the third leading cause of death in America. So how can that be when most of the deaths are after the first stroke and everybody's on Coumadin? If it worked to stop your second and third third stroke. If we really had this clotting issue figured out on the basis of Coumadin, Warfarin, Plavix, we wouldn't have stroke as the third leading cause of death in the United States. Just common sense. So the point is, we don't. Measuring blood viscosity is something we don't do. We don't even have a concept of it, a bare concept. And yet I'm going to show you the articles. It's very central in terms of its importance in hematology. It's very important as far as how many cultures understand disease, the pathogenesis, the journey of disease in your body from before you get it to the symptom to when you die of it. Somebody comes in. I did a show on fibromyalgia recently, and people come in, and they have fibromyalgia, and they have all sorts of pain and this. And if you talk to them about thickness of blood, blood viscosity, the reason you take herbs is to help regulate the blood so the fibromyalgia then will resolve. That's foreign. That's news. How about cancer? How about autoimmune disease? How about IBS? How about ulcerative colitis? How about low back pain? How about polymyositis rheumatica? How about any disease has a variable but significant, always significant to very significant contribution by blood viscosity? What does that mean to you? You want to know what to do for your symptom, what to do for your specific disease. And this is what I, for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to harp on. Because you've got to get this concept. You have to walk in to your healthcare practitioner and say, what do I need to do about my blood sludge, about the thickness of my blood, about my blood viscosity? That's what you've got to do. You shouldn't be walking in saying, what do I do about my fibromyalgia? What do I do about my low back pain? What do I do about my headaches? What do I do about my cancer? Don't think in those terms, because that's not functional. And they're thinking in terms of your blood viscosity, and you're thinking in terms of your cancer, or your lupus, or your heart disease. So you and your healthcare practitioner are not on the same page. You pretend to be, but you're not. That's why I do this show. We have to close the gap between your superficial versions, and it's not your fault, but your versions of why you hold on to your symptoms are superficial. And the statistics are on my side. And I'm talking holistic medicine. Let's not have the conversation about Kaiser Permanente and the allopaths. Use those guys for acute medicine and surgery. I'm talking about holistic medicine not being on the same page with you. Why? Because there's too much of a communication gap. You're still sticking to your symptoms. So that's the blood. Understand what the blood is made of. Now, in that plasma, tons of horrid poisons, tons. Metabolites of your natural physiology, stuff you make that gets out of your body, but it passes through the blood, to the liver, to the gallbladder, out the skin, through the lymph. And stuff that's not supposed to be there. We say exogenous, EX, exogenous poisons. Poisons that come in from the outside. We say endogenous poisons, END, not EXO, endogenous poisons. These are poisons that your body makes. So either way, exogenous or endogenous, in the plasma is floating all this garbage. All right, good. Relax, take a deep breath. There's more oxygen in the air today. And always, and I'm going to harp back to this later, because we're going to make a claim for what the blood is. The blood is not what you think it is. I'm going to make a strong argument for that, but I'm going to save that for more or less part of the climax today. We want you to climax, and that's later. Right now, I'm going to say picture number two. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, when you get home, get on the website. You got to use the pictures. Regulation of the circulatory system, the autonomic nervous system, always the autonomic nervous system, is influencing the blood. Big, really big. You're never going to get around that. What does that mean to you? I hope it means something. To many, it means nothing. your stress levels and your ability to live in the zone of freedom. If you remember what that is, if you can induce it, if you can go out and run in the rain and feel it, that nervous system, the parasympathetic aspect of the autonomic nervous system, if it is not functional, pulsing strong, your blood can never regulate. Forget the biochemical version of it. Your blood can never regulate if the autonomic nervous system isn't backing it up. Neurovascular, think of the word neurovascular. Think of the word osteopath, given to blood. Chiropractic, given to nerve. Neurovascular. The body is heavily influenced through the neurovascular system. If blood and nervous system are not aligned, your organ systems do not work. Yeah, but what do I do for my hemorrhoids and my toenail fungus and my sagging skin? Let's talk about these things. I hope you're not thinking that, because I'm going to fall off my chair again. Every show I fall off the chair. You don't know that. Don't ask those questions. Ask yourself, where is your autonomic system at? Ask yourself, where is my blood viscosity at? Ask yourself, where is my anemia at? Ask yourself, where is my digestion at? Ask yourself, are you sleeping? Are you refreshed when you bounce up off the bed? Ask yourself, when you put your feet in the earth, do you feel something go up and inside your brain? Ask yourself, how much of you is consistent, is abidant, is abiding, is experiencing the natural laws of health? That's the way you have to think about your symptom, not what do I take for my symptom. Picture number four. Look at picture number four. Do it yourself. You're sitting there at lunch, dinner, whatever, breakfast. Stick out your tongue. Look into a mirror. Stick out your tongue just for 4 seconds. After 4 seconds, it annuls the test. Flip up your tongue and just look at it. Does underneath your tongue look like that? If it does, your blood is way too thick, often in the heart and through the lungs. But it doesn't matter. That's blood stasis. Is that you? Yeah, it's you. It's about half the people I see each week. And that's not the only way to tell. So think of your symptom. Your tongue looks like that, and your muscles ache. Your tongue looks like that, and you have arthritis. Your tongue looks like that, and you have cancer. Your tongue looks like that, and you have lupus. Your tongue looks like that, and you're depressed. You're senile. You're whatever. Your tongue looks like that, and you have Parkinson's. Your tongue looks like that, and you just have toenail fungus. It doesn't matter. Does your tongue look like this one? How's this one? Try this one on for size. Picture number five. Take a look at that. Anything on your tongue? Those are purpuras. P-U-R-P-O, whatever. Look at that. Varicosities in the tongue. Little purple spots on the tongue. Does your tongue look like that? Same thing. Oh, doctor, I'm concerned about my blood tests. My cholesterol's high. I'm plaquing up. The doctor says I'm going to get heart disease. The doctor says I could have a stroke like my mother did. So on and so forth. I'm really concerned about it. It's because the blood's too thick. There it is on your tongue. Get it before it gets you. It's just an indice through which you can measure the viscosity. You can do it yourself. Ladies, those of you who are still menstruating, ladies, at one time you were menstruating. Was your blood each month clotty? Did you clot when you bled? Do you clot now? Do you get bad PMS? Mood swings? Do you have cystic ovaries? Did you get fibroids? All of these things are part and parcel to blood stasis. So you're concerned about your health, then you regulate the quality and quantity of your periods. Oh, you don't have periods anymore. When you did, what were they like? Because they're still that way, but you're not having them. It's just worse now. As you age, your blood gets thicker. As you age, your blood gets thicker. According to your geography, your blood gets thicker. According to your stress levels, your blood gets thicker. According to whether you exercise or not, your blood gets thicker. According to whether your liver is clean, your blood gets thicker. The blood in your muscles, the blood in your organs, There's the hookup for you. You're concerned about your eye. Now, this has nothing to do with you because you've got glaucoma. This has nothing to do with you because you have cataracts. This has nothing to do to you because suddenly you're nearsighted. What could your eye and blood have to do with each other? It has everything to do with you. Everything to do with you. Nothing you have isn't related to blood stasis. Yep, I'm going to keep repeating myself. Don't care if you don't like it. Just going to keep repeating myself because you're not getting it. I assure you. The first thing you do when you hear you have a problem is you go right to, what do I do about that problem? Not, what do I do about my blood stasis? Ladies, your periods, if you're still having them, fix them. Measure your health. Yeah, you're happy, you're proud. You went to Kaiser, you got your blood work. Your blood work was normal. They told you you were fine. Oh, what a relief. Don't tell me you're not doing this. You all do this, and you all pile your blood work on my desk, and you're all so proud of it, and it means nothing. It means next to nothing. Why are you drinking the Kool-Aid? You're smarter than that. What you want to do is have a good sense of where you're going with your health simply on the basis of, over 1 year, I am going to get rid of those clots. Over 1 year, I am going to make sure my tongue is not purple or blue, it's pink. You think in those terms. You think in real terms. Let's keep going. Look at picture number 7. Is that you? If that's you, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If that's you, we need to talk. Enough said. Look at picture number 8. Now you can do this. No, better yet, picture number 10. Don't just look at your tongues. Let's look at picture number 10. Look at your eye. If you get yourself a mirror, and a magnifying mirror. Ladies, you have one. And just take a flashlight with a white bulb, not the yellow bulbs. And all the bulbs are white anyway. So take that flashlight. You can buy them for $5 at the gas station. And just put that on your eye and then look at your reflection in the mirror. You're looking at eye here, which is picture number 10. Look at that purplish-bluish rim, that ring around that brown eye. Look at that. Look at that purplish ring around. That's venous congestion. That's blood stasis in the eye. Blood stasis. If you've got that, your organ cannot drain its blood. You have fibromyalgia. You have low back pain. I'm really going to harp on that stuff. I mean everything. I mean the lumps in your breast. I mean your Alzheimer's, your senility. I mean everything. Blood viscosity is a basic indice of health. It's a basic indice of health. And looking at that picture, that bluish purple ring around that eye, you can see it in iridology, not just the tongue. Your body gives us lots of hints, but you can see it right in the eye there. And what that's going to mean is your organ can't drain toxic blood. So if you have back pain that's chronic, it's because you can't get that toxic blood out. You've done chiropractic. You've done massage therapy. You've done yoga therapy. You've done what you needed to do, and you can't get the blood out of there because it's too thick. Those toxins then will not leave your joint. They will not leave your musculature, and you will stay in pain. All right, I'm feeling you. I think we're getting somewhere. I'm starting to feel good behind this. Look at picture number 9. Those of you with those brown spots in your eyes. Easy to see. You don't even need a magnifying glass to see most people's brown spots. You don't even need a magnifying glass. Look at that eye. Look at those brown spots. People with those brown spots, they're going to get congested in the liver. Their genetics is going to congest them in the liver. Just your genetics will congest your liver. You don't need to congest your liver with eating bad food. You'll congest your liver just with your genetics. If you're hormonally rich, if you're Latino, if you're Italian, if you're Greek, if you're Welsh, if you're Scottish, if you're Eastern European, if you're thicker in the skin, thicker in the lips, if your muscles grow faster, if they grow thicker, if your bones are denser, if you're athletic in your inclination, rest assured your blood tends to get thicker. This is a big problem for people. Our best and our brightest, our best athletes have thicker blood. Thicker blood means more functional hormonal systems. Your adrenals and your testes and your ovaries make more juice, more hormonal juice, which you want. Believe me, you want it when the blood is thicker. But with it comes this problem. And that thick blood stays stuffed, and your eyes show markers for it. This person's eyes here, that blue ring and those black dots, guarantee you that blood in the organs, in the muscles is too thick. Guarantee you they're going to be symptomatic sooner or later. Guarantee you they have to do something about it, and we'll get to that before the show is over. But right now, I'm just going to keep hammering away. Picture number 11, take a look. Picture number 11, hematoma scar tissue. That's your buttocks muscle. That's the deep muscle of the buttocks, your rear end, your derriere. Put your hand on it and keep pressing through the fat, through the skin, through the gluteus maximus, maybe through the gluteus medius, the gluteus minimus, all the fascia. And finally, you're going to get to a little muscle there right in the core of your buttocks called the piriformis. That piriformis is connected from the back of your thigh bone to your sacrum. Piriformis muscle. Those of you who've had sciatica are familiar with it. That muscle can have a hematoma. A hematoma is a blood clot in the muscle. Those of you, yeah, I said I was going to focus a little more on musculoskeletal. But I'm focusing on cancer, on everything, on lupus. Those muscles are thick with blood to the point where you call it a hematoma. Once the blood is thick too long, you will scar the area because the fibroblasts will charge in response to the viscosity, lay down fibrin. Fibrin is scar tissue. So now your body's goop. Your blood is goop. Cut yourself. Go ahead. Stab yourself on the finger and make yourself bleed and see how it comes out like jelly. Your blood's like jello, like goop. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. News bulletin. Sounds like your period last month. Well, not you. You don't have it. Sounds like the periods you used to get. Sounds like your granddaughter's period. Yeah, but she gets endometriosis. She has ovarian cysts. She's only 30 and she's got fibroids. Your blood can turn to goop. It is goop. Here's the ultimate test. Husbands, touch your ladies on the arm and press. Just dig in there. Do this right now. Grab them on the arm. Do it to yourself. Grab your arm, your forearm, and gently just dig your finger in and then dig to the bone, and you're going to scream. I'll promise you, you're going to scream. Oh, it's just your arm. Your neck hurts. What does that have to do with your arm? Believe me, your arm is your neck, is your leg, is your foot, is your eyeball, is your brain, is your pancreas, is your liver, is your spleen, is your prostate, is your ovaries. When the blood is thick, the blood is thick. You can use the body in a lot of ways to determine the thickness of the blood. We've already discussed the eye. We've discussed the tongue. Now we're using a palpatory test. Dig in to your legs. Dig in to your arms. Don't just polywaddle on there. Don't scrape the surface. Dig. Oh, that would hurt anybody. No, it wouldn't. It won't. It wouldn't hurt me. It wouldn't hurt someone who's resolved their issues with blood stasis. It hurts you. If it does, chalk that off to your symptom, especially musculoskeletal. If you've had musculoskeletal and your chiropractors and your massage therapists and everybody's had their fill and you've been around the block 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 20 times with all this musculoskeletal stuff, all the joint stuff, look into the fact that your blood is too thick. It will shut down all your physical therapies. Resolve the blood stasis and dissolve the scars. If you don't do that, forget your physical therapies. They will not work. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If this rings a bell, if you're out there in radio land and this rings a bell in your head, give us a call and we'll give you the fine tuning that you'll need, all right? If you'll listen, you don't have to come too often. If you don't listen, you'll come forever. It's up to you. Point is, healing is not that complicated if you can receive. Can you receive, or do you think you know? If you think you know and you've been stuck for 20 years, don't think you know. And it's not to judge you, okay? So let's not think that either. But you have to be able to receive information in your soul. The soul always figures out a way here. All right, the Chinese. Let's talk about the Chinese for a little while. Popular subject these days. Picture number 13. That's cupping. Oh, yeah, you've heard of cupping. Someone's cupped you. The Chinese medicine, Vedic medicine. We cup people when you use castor oil and you make the tissue super red and hot. You're trying to thin the blood. Cupping thins the blood. Moxibustion thins the blood. What blood? Look at picture number 14. Look at picture 14. I want you to take this in and remember, this is just your low back, but it applies to your organs, everything. Look at picture number 14. Superficial layer of muscles, intermediate layer of muscles, deeper layer of muscles. When we talk muscles, when you say, ouch, it hurts, the muscles are buried underneath layers. Superficial layers, intermediate layers, subintermediate layers, and deep layers and the deepest layers. You can be buried under 5 or 6 layers of muscle. The pain is deep down inside because the pain's in the joint, and by the time you get to the joint, you've had to resolve 6 layers of fibrin, 6 layers of blood stasis. So look at that picture. Great picture, huh? Picture number 14. You've got to get down deep where the muscle meets the bone. So you've got a lot of blood to thin out. That occurs over time. It occurs over time. Picture number 12. Picture 12, healthy blood. The tongue is supposed to be pink. Then moderate stagnation starts to get darker pink. Then severe stagnation, it's purple. Dark purple. It's even blue. Under the tongue is blue. Easy ways to tell. Don't do it in the sunlight. Don't do it under fluorescent light. Don't do it under artificial light. Do it in off sunlight. Indirect sunlight. Today is a perfect kind of day for it. Indirect sunlight. That's how you look at your tongue. You can do it in the house easily next to a window. Very simple to do. Look at picture number 15 and 16. Excuse me, picture 15. I'm sorry, picture 16. Look at picture 16. The microscope, your red blood cells under the microscope. Okay, what's the space between the cells? That's the plasma. The space between the cells, you're looking at picture number 16, is the plasma. That space between the cells is filled with space invaders. It's filled with parasites. It's filled with chemicals. It's filled with fungus. It's filled with aliens. It's filled with heavy metals. It's filled with lots of things. That space is the plasma, like we pointed out in picture number 3, the plasma. Aside from the plasma, you're looking at your red blood cells. You see how they're clumped and then unclumped? By the way, if you've ever had any of these tests, beware of imposters. Whether your cells are clumped or not is really so often of a matter of, it's a matter of the way the sample is taken. You can induce false clumping if you squeeze the finger when you take the sample. You can induce false clumping if you put the lens, the the microscope on the edges of the drop of blood. That's where the blood's going to clump anyway. So just a word of caution for those of you that have had any of this microscope stuff done. Microscope's a powerful tool. Microscope has fascinated medicine from the 1700s when the Dutchman used it, Anton, all the way to the Germans, Enderlin, and so on and so forth. But the blood clumps. When the blood's clumping, when the RBCs are clumping, that's not the platelets clumping, that's the RBCs clumping. The blood's too thick. It's another way to tell. We call it a Rouleau pattern. Stacked coin appearance. Stacked coin appearance. Purplish around the eye. Purple on the tongue. Purple under the tongue. Pain to palpation. When you get your period, does it clot? All signs of blood stasis. Now, this is the beginner stuff. It gets more complicated, but we save that for the private sessions, okay? But you can tell who you are. Go out and run, look under your tongue, and then look under your tongue when you're done running, and you'll see those veins are gone. Circulate that blood. Big deal. We're going to get to the article soon. I'm not going to let you take my word for it. I'm going to take you watch some of these articles I've got later. Go to picture 15, Virchow. The infamous Virchow. Pathogenesis of disease. Another great pathologist scientist, Virchow. Stasis, hypercoagulability, and vessel damage. Stasis. Bed rest and immobility. Extrinsic compression of the vessels by mass. He's talking about what induces stasis. Too much time in bed, too much immobility. Tumors, macrophages produce coagulants, inflammatory cytokines. There's a chemical melee called the inflammatory process, something you constantly hear me harp on. What we're looking at today is a component of it called blood stasis. Vessel damage, ultimately, because there's too much clotted blood, hemotic blood just trapped in the vessels, creates all sorts of problems on top of it, and then we end up with medical intervention. By this, you're really, really sick. And you can see the rat's nest that you've got to unclog when you're going from stasis to component with hypercoagulability to then tissue damage, so on and so forth. By the time you come in with these long-term issues, you're looking at a year to 2 to 3 to 5 years before you turn your health around and get radiant again. A year? You wanted it in 6 weeks. It doesn't work that way. We all wish it did. Maybe it's not supposed to. I can tell you it doesn't. You spend 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years trying to mess it up, you're going to spend a year, 2 years, 3 years straightening it out. And that is the way it goes. And the money you put into it, herbs, this, that, cost effective. Because if you lose this game, you're down. You lose tons more. So really, if you get rational about it, investing in your health when you've got a chronic issue is a marginal investment against the potential of benefit. The problem is you don't really believe it when you invest your dollar. And that's the problem. Nobody argues with the brain surgeon. You see, the brain surgeon says, you've got the tumor, we're going in there at a cut, or you're going to lose your optic nerve. This is how much, this is how long, and this is the way it's going to be. And everybody just says, yes, doctor. You see, but holistic medicine, it's a different game. And there's a lot of intangibles. And somehow we've sold you on the awesome power of 6 weeks of working towards your health. And it doesn't work that way. It never did, it never will. It's probably not supposed to. That doesn't mean if you can receive, you can't move really fast. The potential's always there, but you can't promise people potentials. Have you ever been promised a potential only to find out it's not your potential? It's not your potential to fix it in 6 weeks. It was your potential to fix it in 2 years. And be glad of that against the 40 it took to get it. Moving right along from Virchow. Onward. Okay. A couple of articles. You've got to see an article. blood viscosity is a cause of disease. Go up to the top, click that. Again, this article comes out of China. I'm sorry, it's tougher to get the American articles. The Americans are too busy touting pharmaceuticals. The Chinese, at the Institute of Transfusion, the Academy of the Military Medical Sciences, Beijing. 1952? Can't be. No, 2001. This bulletin started in the 50s. Wow. 2011 this came out. It's 3 years old. Blood viscosity in disease prevention and treatment. I don't see any Jack Smiths in that article, do you? There's a problem with that. Jack Smith's name should be on that article. Where is he? He's not there. He's convinced that your disease is a matter of something else. That's a problem for you. You're wasting money on things that don't deliver. Get into this article. Number one, if you look at the article, I parentheses important things. Let me read to you. Blood viscosity plays an important role in maintaining vascular homeostasis. Under normal conditions, blood viscosity is kept at a relatively stable level by a variety of regulatory mechanisms. The genius of the body. The genius of the body regulating blood viscosity. However, under pathological mechanisms, disorders in these regulatory mechanisms mediated by endothelial cell dysfunction result in pathogenesis and development of certain diseases. Now, they're going to give you a bunch of diseases here. The diseases are endless. It's not cardiocerebrovascular diseases. It's not diabetes. It's not hemorrhagic shock. It's anything. Cross that out and put anything. This is a free article. Anybody can read this and download it. These people that wrote this article, believe me, no one's reading this article. I will guarantee you no one here or in China is reading this article. This is from the Institute of Pharmacology and Toxicology, Academy of Military Medical Sciences in Beijing. Guarantee you this baby's collecting dust somewhere, but it made it to Google. This article reviews the role of blood viscosity regulation and its importance in disease prevention and control. Number two, blood viscosity varies under normal physiological conditions. Now they're going to give you how and why it varies. And don't worry, I'm going to give you what to do about it, from the most important things to the very important things. You bet I am. I'm going to do what you ask. So you can skip the first 45 minutes and just activate. Just go out there and do it. No. Tongue in cheek, why? Because a lot of people, I don't have time to listen to the causes. I don't want to know the reasons. I just want to know what to do. He doesn't tell me what to do. I don't have time for this stuff. I'm a lawyer. Dude, wake up, dude. Because, dude, when you got to dig your heels in, you better know why you're spending and why you're digging your heels in and why you're out there in the rain on a Saturday morning when you want to having an enchilada and a cup of coffee. You got to know why. The world moves on whys. Most people need to be analytically seasoned. Very few people trust. Usually when you just want to know what to do and not why, usually it's because you're not interested. Not because you trust, because you're not interested. Be interested. There's more money for you in being interested. We ought to do a show on time. On the delusion of time. Old people know this. 80 to 90, they know it. A 90-year-old looks at a 60-year-old and says, "What's your rush?" The delusion, illusion, preclusion of time. The time you save by understanding is the time you have multiplied by 100 later on. They even want you to rush through your radio shows. Blood viscosity varies due to differences in heredity, sex, and geography. You bet. and that geography is specific to you. Your blood may thin in humidity. Your blood may thicken in dry. Your blood may thin in dry and thicken in humidity. Your blood may need cold. You ever hear people, I'm invigorated in the cold? Not me. I'm south of Rome. I don't invigorate in the cold. I don't like the cold. The fact that I grew up in New York was a problem. I like being here. I like the desert. I don't like humidity. Gee, do you think it's got something to do with heredity? Not just heredity. Where do you like to be? That's where your blood is going to self-regulate. Under pathological conditions, changes in blood viscosity correlate with, blah, forget that. And changes in shear, forget that. Move to number 3. They're on the first page. Therefore, blood, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. This is big. These Chinese guys didn't even know what they were saying. I mean it. Big. Send this article around. It's bigger than the guys that wrote it thought. Big, really big, big with a capital B, big. Therefore, blood has the properties of a pseudoplastic non-Newtonian fluid. All right, quantum trio. I'll give away 2 of them. You've got 15 minutes. Get on the comments section and tell me why I think that's big. Therefore, blood has the properties of a pseudoplastic non-Newtonian fluid. Do you get the implications of that statement? Yeah, this article collects dust somewhere on a bookcase in China that no one's looking at. Be careful. Those Chinese scientists, they all went to acupuncture school somewhere along the way. I'm going to have to come back to it because I promised 2 quantum trios. That's the vitamin D, that's the aloe, and the Carl. First 2 people. Do not call in. This is not 1920. Get on the web. Get to the website. Go into the comment section. Bottom of the pictures. Comment section. Tell your friends what the significance of a peer-reviewed journal out of China in 2011, what the significance is of the statement, therefore, properties. Therefore, the blood has the properties of a pseudoplastic non-Newtonian fluid. I can't even believe it. That's why I love these articles that are just collecting dust. You know archaeology? Library archaeology? You go to the old library and you dust off the bookshelf and you find that piece of information that someone gave their life to studying? You can still do it on Google. I love it. You can do it better. You can do it 100 times better on Google. Except, guess what? If you think Google's got the articles, think again. They're still in the libraries. You young people out there, you 20, you 15, yeah, young as 10 years old with computers. You know, a 20-year-old looks at a 10-year-old like an alien. If anyone's listening to the show that's 20, you're laughing now because your 10-year-old friend, he's an alien to you. That's really how different they are. Remember when we were 20? The generation gaps? If you measure versatility by the computer and you compare a 20-year-old to a 10-year-old to a 30-year-old to a 40-year-old, you're talking about vast differences. And let me tell you about under 20. They think the knowledge is on Google. It's not. It's a darn great fast way to get there, but it's not. It's still collecting dust in basements and libraries. It's unbelievable, but it's true. I have verified that in my own searches. All right, I've given you enough time. All right, I'll give you a little more time. Let's get to picture number 4. Not picture number 4. Number 4 on that article. Epidemiological studies show that blood viscosity is affected by many factors: cholesterol, triglyceride levels, obesity, high sodium intake, aging, mental stress, gender, geographic factors. Number 5 This is what my numbers, I put the numbers. Abnormal changes in blood viscosity play an important role in the pathogenesis and development of many diseases. So we're back to many diseases now. They switch. You read the rest later on. There it is. Read that article. Now, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? I'm going to get to that answer about that plastic stuff. I can hardly contain myself. What do you do about blood viscosity? Move your buttocks. Move it. I don't care how you move it. Roll around in the mud. Honestly, if you're in a wheelchair, climb rope. Strengthen the upper body. Strengthen what works. If you've got multiple sclerosis and you can't walk, get down on the floor in a garden and move your body. Go into a swimming pool and tread water. Put on a float and tread water. Invest in one. Find one. Convince a neighbor in the neighborhood to help you and put you in one. If you can run, get up hills. If you can only walk, walk up hills. Get your pulse up high. Move, 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 and move. And then move more. Every herb thins your blood. All of them do. Garlic thins your blood. Cayenne thins your blood. Turmeric thins your blood. Take lots of them. They're food additives. They're food herbs. Get your bile flowing. It moves your blood. Keep your stress low. If your stress is high, you will not move your blood. What do I do to move my blood? You know, me. Not them, me. No, it doesn't work that way. It works that way 25%. It's worth one visit to find out what you have to do to move your blood. You may have more unique situations. You may have polycythemia vera. You may have cancer. Your issues at moving your blood may be a little more complicated. But by and large, what you have to do is what everyone has to do. Herbs work to move blood. Blood-moving herbs. Chansapiedra moves the blood. Greens mix, barley, oat, wheatgrass, chlorella thins the blood. Take lots of them. And understand, once the blood moves, when it starts to move, once things move, you're going to feel them move. You may have a little bit of a detox as the blood moves. And another thing to move the blood, sooner or later, you're going to have to get put in the vise. That's right. You got to get put through the bathrobe wringer. You have to get put through the bathing suit wringer. You know the thing that you put the wet bathing suit through? The wringer. The rack. You got to get peeled. Some form of deep massage work. The stuff that hurts, that'll hurt less if you move your blood. And those of you with musculoskeletal problems, yeah, fibromyalgia, polymyalgia rheumatica, the joint problems, the osteoarthritis, the joint replacements on the way, the unremitting pain of whatever musculoskeletal syndrome you've got or ever have. If you don't get that joint pulled apart because you thinned your blood, you're never going to mobilize the joint. You can pretend you're mobilizing it. You can lose your stretches, this, that, and the other thing. But until that blood thins out enough, how do you know the blood's thinned? You know the blood's thinned when the tongue changes. You know the blood's thinned when the eye changes. You know the blood's thinned. Here's the best way to determine the blood is thinned. The tissue you dug into when your husband poked into you, and then 6 months later it doesn't hurt, you thinned your blood. Congratulations. Light a cigar. That cigar you always wanted. Light it up when it doesn't hurt in your muscular system, or it hurts less. When you improve your bowel flow, when you improve your bile flow, you're thinning your blood. But in the end, especially you musculoskeletal people, how about you cancer people? How about you Parkinson's people? How about you lupus people? How about you joint replacement people? All of you, symptomatic or disease-ridden, it hurts less on deep palpation into the tissue as you thin your blood. Trust in that. Trust in God. Trust in yourself. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Warfarin, Coumadin, blood thinners, are you kidding me? Yeah, they have a place. If they were working so well, we wouldn't be getting strokes believe me. Believe you. Believe the science. Believe that Chinese article. Listen to your common sense. 714-850-1007. I like those people that come ready. We've had a bunch this last week. They just came ready. They weren't sure. But then the light went on. You can see it in people when the light goes on. It's a beautiful thing. Because you're going to save a soul. You're going to watch the body do what the body's designed to do. But you got to turn the lights on. We can understand that theologically, the soul knows all. We can understand that analytically. Enough articles by Chinese scientists and maybe your light goes on. Or maybe it's just a rapport, a connection. Maybe it's just something you can't put your finger on. But somehow, something's got to turn the light on. I see it every week. Wow. I love it. I love it. After the show, you go out, you take a walk. You walk up that hill. You walk up that hill until your heart rate starts to hit 130, 140. Don't if you have a medical condition. Check with your doctor to make sure you can do this first. I wouldn't want anybody to walk up a hill without political and medical supervision. But if you feel comfortable with it, feel your blood move. That feel of circulation is what I'm talking about. That's it. That is all I have to say. We'll see you next week. You have a fantastic day. Hopefully we'll get more rain this week. Enjoy it. Lots of negative ions. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.